Well, I was singing this in Philly this morning.
When my early morning day begins.
Which is odd because the show isn't air in Philly.
And the sunlight hits my face. I've got the sound of WGN. 720 locked in place.
Do the Villanova dance.
Now I've tuned to you. And the day's all bright with me. Yeah, 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 yeah. The voice and wake up call. I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
That's good. We should play this more often. From the mind of John DeCause.
All of his songs are so catchy. You sing them.
Yeah, all of them. Some of them.
Oh,
suck.
I like all of his
songs.
No,
they're all good. They're all really good. He's the musical director of the program.
You were mixing it up with One Shining Moment?
That was it. That was it.
That was One Shining Moment?
Yeah, they
sounded different last night.
They used it last night. They used it, the Steve Cochran Show song. They used it for instead of One Shining Moment. Everybody goes, isn't Luther dead? And they went, yeah, so let's play this instead.
Well, they didn't have Luther. They had a new one.
They did a new one?
Yeah.
Well, what's wrong with tributing? What's wrong with Luther?
Know. They changed it this year.
He hasn't been dead that long. Wow, that's sad. You know, I used to have a Luther Vandross purple jacket.
Did you really?
Remember Luther used to wear purple all the time?
You could have worn it to the Northwestern games.
It's a good look for me. Mm-hmm. I look like Barney the dinosaur.
Well, did you? Would you get rid of it? Donate it?
I think people who cared about me threw it away.
Got it.
And told me that the dry cleaner kept it.
Uh-huh.
I think it was one of those moves. It's 6:15. All right, here's what we have to talk about. We've got a crazy bank scam in Panama, which is a story that's going to get bigger every day because there's 4.5 million pages of documents that still have to be gotten through. But it sounds like a joke. What do the Prime Minister of Iceland, Lionel Messi, and David Cameron's father have in common with Vladimir Putin, and when did they all walk into a bar?
Or a bank, in this case.
It's a bank. Yeah, that's right.
No, you're right. It sounds like a joke.
We'll get to that coming up. Also, today is a Wisconsin primary, and we've got a lot to talk about in regards to that. Obviously, Villanova's win is big. Both Chicago baseball teams won. This is the first time on opening day that both Chicago baseball teams won since 1911. I don't know if you know that. Okay, maybe it just feels like that long.
Pretty much.
But the Cubs. Oh, man, message pitch last night. Shutout, 9-0.
I mean,
hello, baseball.
They looked like they did at the end of last year. Well, not against the Mets, but they looked like they did at the end of last season.
They mathematically eliminated the rest of the Central.
Pretty much.
Yeah. That was very impressive. And nice win for the White Sox as well.
Mm-hmm. Why are you wearing those goggles, huh?
Stop! Stop! He's with me. He's my son.
Yeah, well, you ought to watch your kid.
Yeah, I got it. Thank you. You doing okay? You cannot leave the band. You hear me?
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I shouldn't have left you.
No. I'm sorry.
Don't make him angry. You won't like Timmy when he's angry. Nick DiGilio stands by. Nick D Show on social media. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Good, sir.
What a wacky doodle clip. Nicely done, Jake. Midnight Special is a movie. Tell people, is that a good movie?
It's, well, let me just say this, that this past weekend, easily the best weekend for movies of the year so far. Two of them will end up probably in my top five best of the year.
Come on.
And that being one of them. Midnight Special is a great movie.
Little kid, a breakout star?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the kid is really good in it, but it's the film itself. It's a very unusual movie. Chicago's own Michael Shannon is in it. Joel Edgerton is in it. Kirsten Dunst is in it. And the less you know about it, you know, the better it is. It's about a kid who may or may not have some very special powers being pursued by the FBI and pursued by a cult, led by, Sam Shepard, who's also in it, who's also great. As the kid is being taken someplace by his birth father, who authorities have said has kidnapped him. So it's this road movie about this kid who might have these special powers.
He's got three different groups chasing him.
Yeah. And it's a great movie. It's wholly original. The guy who directed and wrote this movie is a man named Jeff Nichols, who, in my opinion, this is the fourth film he's made. All four of his movies were either at the top of my list for each year or very near the top of my list for best. This guy is one of the best American writer-directors working today, without question.
Well, there you go. There's your movie recommendation. Hey, speaking of movies, tonight it's movie night with Nick. And, you know, Nick likes to thematically work these things out when he can. He's got a beautiful spring film he's showing tonight that captures all the hope and love of spring. What's the movie?
Oh, Raging Bull.
Raging Bull, yes.
Yeah.
When you think spring, you think Raging Bull.
I do. I think the smell of flowers and leaves in the air, and I think Robert De Niro smacking Kathy Moriarty around.
The smell of Epsom salts as he tried to revive the fighter in the corner. All right, so how do we get tickets?
Truly an amazing movie. And if you've not, you know I'm Captain Hyperbole, but this is a movie that many, many, many associations and critics and awards have called one of the greatest American films of the 80s, one of the greatest American films of all time, and the best film of the 80s, a Martin Scorsese masterpiece. And if you've never seen it in all of its glory, beautiful black and white, we've got a 4K digital print tonight. It's only $10 to get in. Parking is free. And this is a rare chance, a rare opportunity to see a true American masterpiece on the big screen and an incredible performance by Robert De Niro. Only $10 to get in. You can go to movieco.com, M-U-V-I-C-O, M-U-V-I-C-O. Go to the seating chart, pick out the seats that you want. They'll be waiting for you. It starts at 8 o'clock, and you can meet up at 7 at Bogart's restaurant on the second floor, have some food, have some dinner. I'll introduce the movie at 8. We'll watch it, and then I'll do a little talk and a Q&A afterwards. And it's just an extraordinary movie. Real quick fact about the year that this movie won. The year that De Niro won for Best Actor.
Okay.
He won for Best Actor, and the guy he played, Jake LaMotta, was in the audience watching, you know, as he did his acceptance speech and was thanked live. And then Sissy Spacek won. She won Best Actress the same night for playing Coal Miner's Daughter. She played Loretta Lynn, and Loretta Lynn was in the audience as she watched and was thanked. So I think it's the first and only time that two...
I bet that's true.
The winners of Best Actor and Best Actress, the people that they played were there in the audience while they won.
Yeah, I bet that's true. And also, is it true or not true that De Niro gained like 35 pounds or something to play?
No, 60.
He gained 60 pounds.
60, because at the beginning of the movie, he's very svelte. He plays a middleweight boxer, and he's very svelte. He got into huge shape, went to work out. He's a method actor. So he actually had real boxing matches. He boxed in 3 matches, won 2 of them, and then got down to a very minimal weight, and then they had to put the production on hold for 4 months, and he came back 60 pounds heavier. And it's how he held the record for most weight gained by an actor until Vincent D'Onofrio gained 70 for Full Metal Jacket.
I don't think that's true. Have you seen Jon Favreau lately?
I think you go
Favreau from his first movie with Vince Vaughn to now. That's the record.
Well, the thing is, I think Favreau ate Vince Vaughn is what happened.
All right, one more time. Tickets for Raging Bull tonight. How do we get them?
Tonight, $10. Parking is free. Go to movieco.com, M-U-V-I-C-O. You can get your tickets there if you don't want to get them ahead of time, but it's easier to get them ahead of time, and you can reserve the exact seat that you want. And that's M-U-V-I-C-O, movieco.com. Order now. Again, we'll meet up at 7 o'clock, have some dinner, and Raging Bull starts at 8. If you've never seen this movie on the big screen, seriously, it's a really, really amazing cinematic experience and one of the best movies ever made.
And if people show up and they want it just as a bonus to be able to punch you in the face and, you know, because it's a boxing movie, is that okay?
Well, it happens at every screening, so I just
Okay. Well, I didn't mean to be redundant. Nick DiGilio at Nick D Show and on the radio tonight at 2 a.m. again.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
Next hour, free Hawks tickets. We have not stuffed a puck in anyone's pants this morning. However, pay attention now. You get a little jump start on the others. I have personally hidden a puck in the hometown of one of the Hawks players.
Oh.
Oh, give out clues. You'll have to identify the player, the hometown, and where the puck is hidden.
And you personally went to this town and hit it.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
You didn't go to Canada, did you? Or you can't divulge that?
I can't talk about it.
Oh.
You know, no Canadian team is making the NHL playoffs this year.
How about that?
Wow.
It's crazy. It's like weird. No European team being in the Premier League final. You know, it just doesn't happen. And there's no real change in sight, Dave. You know what I'm saying?
No, Andrew? There isn't.
You know what I'm saying, Mary? You know what I'm saying?
Got it.
I hear you.
There's a lot of rebuilding going on in Canada when it comes to pucks.
Montreal, the last few years, has been close.
Not anymore.
Toronto, they thought they'd hired Mike Babcock, and they were going to get things turned around there.
Remember how upset they were when they found out Babcock didn't play? All he could do was coach. So we'll get to free Hawks tickets at 7:20. We're efforting our kid of the week, who apparently had a better offer, but we'll see if we can get to him here in just a second. At 6:43, other things coming up on the show today include Gary Sinise. He's plugging his own TV show. Turns out they did a spinoff. I thought there was enough serial killing in America for TV, but apparently not. They're going to do a Criminal Minds International version.
Version, yeah.
And Gary Sinise will be the lead in that, apparently.
I like those Criminal Minds shows.
I'm not...
Not into those? Mm.
Kari Webb will be in studio later, one of the all-time greats on the LPGA Tour.
That'll be fun.
And Lisa Quinn from the First Tee Chicago, right?
Yeah, First Tee Chicago. This is a fantastic organization.
There's an LPGA event coming to the Merit Club this year, and I love the Merit Club.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about that later on. Dean, in the 8 o'clock hour, as Dave said, Coach Q as well. We'll get another take on the Wisconsin primary from Jessica Arp, one of the more prominent political reporters in Wisconsin, coming up. And Coach Chris Collins, just after 7. Dave, was he at the game last night?
No, he's in. What was that?
He's
in town.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
But we're guessing he watched it with his kids.
I'm guessing that he watched the game, yes.
Okay. All right.
And, you know, he's a Duke guy, so I don't know that he would necessarily be heartbroken to see North Carolina go down.
I'm guessing he loved it.
At least, I don't know if he'll say that. Maybe he will.
He will to me.
I loved
it.
Well,
he will to you. Yeah,
you know,
you're his designated shooter.
We're just a couple of gym rat buddies.
That's right.
Yeah,
I was thrilled. And I know I'm going to get the wrath of the North Carolina fans, but...
You don't like North Carolina?
Oh, not a fan at all. 2005, final championship game, Illinois-North Carolina?
It was
rigged.
You know, a game like that.
Was terrible.
How do you really come away from it? I mean, it's a heartbreaker, but it was such a great game.
Unless you're North Carolina.
Yeah, but, I mean, they gave themselves a chance.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't think they feel that way today. Down the road, they may feel that way.
Maybe not, but...
The kid that hit the three to tie it.
Unbelievable shot by
Paige. The scissor kick three, miracle, throw it up in the air and hope for the best.
Yeah.
That was a better shot than the game winner.
It was. I mean, and he hit two of those. I mean, he hit the one that got him within three. Then he hit the game tying three.
Good.
And then they go down to the other end.
I think it's the same kid. He was great in the post game.
Marcus Paige.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the post game, you know, but 22 years old, you just had the most disappointing loss of your life, and you man up and you talk, you sit there and you talk, you know, here's something else, North Carolina. How about the Carolina Panthers quarterback? Remember a little Super Bowl temper tantrum
Cam Newton?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
How about Cam Newton looks at the 22-year-old up the road at North Carolina and goes, maybe I ought to act like him.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Kid of the Week, sponsored by Ran Raymond Chevrolet. Every Kid of the Week is qualified for Kid of the Year honors. If you know a kid that goes above and beyond for his family or his community, or just to do a little bit better in school, nominate them for Kid of the Week. WJNradio.com/contest, where you can go submit an entry for a kid between 5 and 18 that you think ought to be Kid of the Week. The winner gets announced here. And then in December, we choose a winner. When I say we, I mean Dave and Mary choose a winner for Kid of the Year. 2016 Kid of the Year will be awarded a $5,000 prize courtesy of Ray Chevy in Fox Lake and Raymond Chevy in Antioch. You can see all the inventory at rayandraymonddeals.com and go online to wjnradio.com/contest to submit your entry. Here's the note we got on this week's Kid of the Week from Jacqueline Brown. I'd like to nominate my grandson, Ricky Brown. Ricky's 9 years old. He's an incredibly considerate child. He goes over and beyond to make sure classmates feel comfortable. He'll always step in if another child is being bullied or feels like they're being left out. When he changed schools last September, the principal from his previous school sent a letter to his new principal that described my grandson's unique qualities in the classroom and how lucky the new school was to have him. I'm beyond proud of this little boy. Let me introduce you to Ricky Brown. Good morning, Ricky.
Good morning.
What's up, my friend?
Good. Nothing.
Yeah? You have spring break yet?
Spring break's over.
Would you go to Florida?
No. I wish.
Yeah? Chasing chicks in your neighborhood? You didn't have to go to Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah. How old are you, Ricky Brown?
I'm actually 9 turning 10 in June.
9 turning 10. What do you want to be when you grow up?
Maybe a wrestling superstar or a cop.
Well, good call on both. Yeah. Do you know any cops? Any cops in the family?
Yes, I know. I know the police officer, Sir Joe, who's cousin.
And you're always nice to them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're polite to older people like me?
Yep.
Well, you sound like a good kid, Ricky Brown. Who's your best friend, Ricky Brown?
My best friend is, he's actually older than me.
Well, much older.
A bit, like, by maybe 2 years, maybe.
Was it like 11-year-old? You hanging out with old dudes like 11 and 12?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. 9 years old. What are you, fourth grade?
Yep.
What's your favorite thing at school?
I actually have two, math and P.E.
Math and P.E. What's your best sport?
Baseball.
What's your best position?
First base.
You a hitter or fielder or both?
Mainly a fielder.
Yeah? You a fast runner, Ricky Brown?
Yeah.
You didn't notice how I like saying your name, Ricky Brown?
Yes.
Ricky Brown sounds like one name, doesn't it? Just Ricky Brown.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, your grandmother sounds like a lovely lady. She sounds like a very nice lady. I want you to give her a big hug because she's the one who told us about you. No, well, not now. I know she's not there now, Ricky Brown. I mean later when you see her again.
Okay.
All right. What are you doing today, Ricky Brown? Are you going to school?
Yeah, but it's just that it's not time for me to go to school yet. It's just...
Did you have breakfast yet, Ricky Brown?
Yes.
What'd you eat?
I ate cereal.
What kind of cereal?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yeah, it's pretty good, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
I like to eat it right out of the box. You put it in a bowl, don't you, Ricky Brown?
Yes. Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't.
Well, you're a better person than I am, Ricky Brown. I think that's clear. You have a question for Ricky Brown?
I just want to know, Ricky, first of all, happy early...
Ricky Brown.
Sorry, Ricky Brown.
Yeah.
What do you want for your birthday? Because, you know what, it's always hard to buy for kids, but 10 years old, what if you could have anything you wanted for your birthday, what would you pick?
Well, there's a couple things. One of them is very, really, really, really expensive.
Well, what is it? What is it that's a really expensive thing?
A hoverboard.
Hoverboard.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
You know, a hoverboard costs over $1 million.
No, it does not.
Oh, does it?
It's about $200.
Okay, and then what's the other one, Ricky Brown?
Maybe an Xbox One.
Ooh, Xbox One.
Cool.
Kind of expensive, too, dude. You're an expensive date, man. I don't know about you.
Very much. Maybe a new glove for baseball.
New glove for baseball. Well, that's pretty cool. So a hoverboard, a new glove, and an Xbox. Well, you're a good kid. Why wouldn't you? Dave Ennett has a question. Mr. Ennett, say hi to my friend Ricky Brown.
Ricky Brown, who's your favorite wrestling superstar?
John Cena.
Oh, yeah. And a local guy, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know John Cena a little bit. You want me to set up a match between you and him?
Yeah.
You think you could take him?
I think so. Yeah.
I think so, too. You sound like it. You know why? You're slippery fast. You know, super fast moves. Here's what I got for you, dude. I have an Apt gift card. That's an electronics store where you can go and you can get something cool, like a new pair of headphones or something like that. Or you could save up your money and they probably hook you up with an Xbox. I got a new MyPillow for you to sleep on because Ricky Brown needs to sleep when he's chasing chicks. Yeah. I mean, pursuing young ladies. Let's be respectful, Ricky Brown.
You mean studying.
You like pizza, Ricky Brown?
Yep.
Lou Malnati's pizza for you. 1-800-LOU-TO-GO, loutogo.com. Find the Lou near you at loumalnati's.com. And let's get your grandmother something as well. How about a ChevyDriveChicago.com, WGN Radio, stainless steel travel mug, and a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee, courtesy of your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Do you have any idea what I just said, Ricky Brown?
Kind of.
It's okay if you don't. Listen, man, I like you. You're okay. You can hang out here anytime.
Hold on. Can I say one thing real quick?
Oh, boy. This is where trouble starts. Stand by. Hit the delay button. All right, go ahead, Ricky Brown.
I want to say thank you very much to my grandma and grandpa for nominating me for the Kid of the Week.
What a nice kid, huh?
Very nice.
Nice.
By the way, this young man, in case you missed.
And happy birthday to my grandma.
Okay, don't push it, Ricky Brown. Now you're pushing it.
No, you must
no happy
birthday,
Grandma. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, Ricky Brown, tell me one story about somebody that was bullying in school that you had to stop.
Actually, yeah, I was at my old school, and I see one kid on the playground bullying another one, and I was like, this is going to stop. So I walked up to the bully, and I said, hey, what did this kid do ever to you to make him bully, what made you bully him?
And did the kid step down? Because that's what bullies do. When you get to, when you're Ricky Brown, you get in the face of the bully backs off, right?
Yep.
Well, it takes a lot of guts to do that, man. You ought to be proud of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of you, Ricky. Ricky, I'm proud of you.
I was bullied myself before, oh. So then that's how I learned to step up and help others.
Yeah, you know how it feels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got
I
great.
Don't want anybody else doing the same way as I did before.
Well, all right. I'm just going to leave. Let Ricky do the rest of the show. He's good.
He's awesome.
You sure you're only 9?
Yeah.
Going to need some ID. All right, buddy. You hold on. We'll give you those prizes. Stand by for a second. And thank you for being on the show. Thanks for being a great kid. Keep it up, will you?
I will. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
What a nice kid. He. By the way, he was. You were rapid fire with those questions, and he was like, boom,
he was
boom.
Ricky
right
Rolls.
There.
Ricky Rolls. Ricky Brown rolls with me.
God, he did great, not miss a beat.
Great radio name, too. Ricky Brown.
Ricky Brown.
Here I am.
Rocking Ricky Brown.
Imagine how much better this show would be if Ricky Brown hosted it. Don't tell me you didn't just
argument.
Think
I mean, no.
All right.
3 seconds to go across the timeline. 2 seconds to go. Jenkins three, right wing to win it. He made it. He made the three for the right wing at the buzzer. Cats win it all. Cats win it all. Cats win it all. 31 years later, Villanova is the king of college basketball once again.
I don't know who that was, but when that kid hits puberty, he's going to be a good broadcaster. He's excited.
You can't script something like that.
One shining moment. How about two? A three to tie it and a three to win it.
And there you are. You're running for your life.
Come on, Dave, dance with me.
You're a shooting star in all the years.
Oh, let me lead.
No one knows just how hard you work.
And now spin.
But now it shows in one shining moment.
A great end to March / April Madness. Coach Chris Collins joins us from your fighting Northwestern Wildcats. Really, the primary cats, even on a day like this, as far as we're concerned. Good morning, Coach.
How you guys doing? I thought I was dreaming for a second. I heard one shining moment and someone screaming, "Cats win it all." I thought I had woken up an hour ago, but I guess I was still in dreamland.
Your day is coming, my friend. Your day is coming. By the way, here's the difference between Villanova, the rest of college basketball, and Northwestern. The morning after Northwestern wins the national championship, it's not going to be like Villanova where they shut the school down. The Northwestern kids will do their thesis the next day. They will go back to work. They'll write a book.
There will still be classes.
They'll solve. Yeah, they'll cure diseases. Yes, they'll do those things. That is a hell of a finish, Coach. Have you ever seen anything like it?
I mean, it was awesome. For the shot to go down, probably the only thing that rivals it is when I was fortunate to be an assistant coach, and we played Butler in the 2010, and the kid hit the half-court shot.
That's
and
right.
The shot didn't go in. So the fact that this shot went in, it's going to live on forever. I mean, just as a basketball fan, I mean, I was on the edge of my seat. I was screaming. I was jumping. I mean, when Marcus Page hit that double pump three to tie the game, I thought that was incredible, only to be topped on the other end. So what a great night for college basketball. It was pretty awesome.
I was thinking Leitner was a buzzer beater, but that was the Kentucky Final Four game, wasn't it?
Well, it was a buzzer beater, but it was actually an Elite Eight game.
Oh, that was an eight game.
Okay. It was a game to go to the Final Four. So, I mean, when you throw in the implications of winning the whole thing, I mean, for that kid to have that for his life, what an incredible moment.
And if you're the kid that ties it for North Carolina and you throw up that scissor kick falling down crazy prayer and it goes in, you got a story to tell for the rest of your life, but it's going to be, it's not going to be forgotten, but it's not going to weigh the same.
I know. No, and that's the wide range that you get with sports, and you guys know being a part of it is, you know, one second you're feeling like, man, we're going to win this, and then only to get your heart broken in 4 seconds on the other end. And, I mean, for Marcus Page to hit that shot, I mean, that's who he's been his whole career. He's been a warrior, a big shot maker, and a senior. I mean, that's the thing that was really great about this tournament is I thought it was a celebration of seniors and experienced players. I mean, you have a lot of older guys in that game last night that had invested a lot into their schools, into their programs, and had a chance to play on the biggest stage and produce one of the great games of all time.
Coach Chris Collins, hang on one sec. I want to get Dave Ennett in here to ask you personal questions that are none of his business like he does it in the postgame.
Mm-hmm.
Stick around for that. At the sound of the cat, we go back to Coach Chris Collins. Dave Ennett.
Coach, good morning. You played North Carolina back in November, and that was when Paige was hurt. But I remember talking to you at the time, and there was a feeling that this was they had been number one until I think just a couple of days before the game. And you were talking about them being a Final Four caliber team. That said, you look at Villanova, what they've done, beating Miami by 24, beating Oklahoma by 44, now winning this game the way they did. I got to think as a coach that you would love to have a team that plays the way Villanova plays.
It's funny you say that. We actually had a meeting yesterday as a team, and we used that as an example. We're getting ready to get started with our off-season workouts. We gave the guys a few weeks off to kind of get refreshed and all that, and now we're getting going with our strength and conditioning and getting back on the court here next week and everything. And I use them as an example a bunch about just the way they play as a group, how connected they are. They have great leadership. They're tough. Their defense, and you look at it, they're undersized. I mean, they play four guards and one big guy. I mean, they're not this overwhelmingly big, physical, you know, super athletic team. They were a collection of really good, really tough, really smart guys that loved playing together. They were well coached, and they became the best team. I mean, there's no way you can deny it. You look at their run, you know, having to play Iowa and then Miami and then Kansas and then Oklahoma with the player of the year, Buddy Hield, and then North Carolina. I mean, they ran through the gamut of all those teams and came out on top, and they were the best team. They deserved it, and it was a great example for us of what we're trying to achieve with our program.
Yeah, not to diminish in any way North Carolina or to diminish Villanova and what they've done, but you look at North Carolina, you look at a bunch of NBA players over there, that's not always the team that ends up being successful.
Yeah, I mean it's a great you know thing to look on when, you know, again, they their collection of their parts though became the best team. They mm-hmm. The way they fit, they had unbelievable leadership from their seniors, led by Archie Diakonu, who's a kid who grew up in Philadelphia, dreamed of going to Villanova, and for him to, you know, be a senior and just the way he commanded that team and got everybody in the right spots, and they all did their part. If you look at, I mean, obviously Jenkins hit the shot and Arch Diakonu was the leader, but all the guys on the court made plays to help them win, And that's the kind of team they had all year long. And it was really cool to see them win because they were a team in every sense of the word, and they deserved it. You know, I think they, at the end, as talented as Carolina was and probably the most talented team, Villanova was the best team and deserved to be the national champions.
You have been around your dad. You've been around Coach K your entire life. You've been around championships your entire life. You know what it smells like. You're that close to it. You've been a part of it. Did you go to bed last night, close those coach eyes, and go, my turn's coming. My turn's coming. Let me tell you something, Coach. Let me coach you up for a second. You got to believe Coach Collins.
Well, I will just tell you this. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing, where I'm doing, if I didn't believe that those things could eventually happen. And, you know, that is the dream. And, you know, watching games like that last night, it brings out the little kid in you again, you know, just, you know, dreaming of being in those moments and having an opportunity to either play or coach in a game of that magnitude. And that's why you do it, you know. And then so it's an exciting time. And, you know, it was hard to go to bed last night because you almost wanted to go out on the practice floor today and get ready for a game after watching a game like that. But gives us great motivation going into the off season. And like you said, you know, our time is coming and I'm excited for that.
Good to have you on, man. Good. I was thinking about you a lot last night, and when the kid made that three, reminded me a lot of that half quarter you sunk on me to close out our vicious game of cat.
Yeah.
And the same was on the line, a national title versus my pride.
It's all relative. You know, the only thing that was different was Jay Wright was calm, cool, and collective, and I was running around like a madman when I beat you.
You did go a little crazy.
So, I needed to control my emotions a little better that day.
Yeah, and he's a better dresser than both of us.
That's true. That's true.
All right, Coach, all the best, man. Thank you.
Yeah, great talking to you guys. Talk to you soon.
@Coach_Collins. He's about the best guy, isn't he?
He's great. I'd forgotten the Gordon Hayward shot.
Yeah.
They had to breathe a sigh of relief when that thing just barely missed.
You know, Doug Collins' kid, Coach K's protege. Do you realize Chris Collins has never left a gymnasium? He doesn't even go home. He's just in a gym his entire life.
Yeah. And this is my turn.
Yeah. Pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks against St. Louis. Is that Friday night? Sunday night.
That's Thursday night.
Like I said, Thursday. No, it's Friday, isn't it? Thursday?
No, they play Thursday night at home. And then
don't get dismissive. I don't have the schedule in front of me, Mr. Know-It-All, okay?
No, I'm just trying to
tell you. Oh, no, I saw the look on your face.
You asked me a question.
You shouldn't pick on the senile. I was very late.
What was it that Roy Williams was supposed to have told me?
Blood out your butt.
Mm-hmm.
A pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks in St. Louis. Thursday night, Dave. Write it down. And by winning, you're entered to win 4-season tickets for next year, courtesy of 4-season Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all of you who are calling right now, I haven't told you how you're going to win, so good luck to each of you. Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing, 4 Seasons. I mentioned that, right? For all the right reasons, 4 Seasons. Find them online at 4SeasonsHeatingandCooling.com or on Facebook. We'll announce the winner of the 4 Seasons tickets for 4 Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing this week. So the season ticket winner will be announced this week. Season ticket winner for next year. I think I got that all in.
I think it, yeah, and it's Thursday night.
All right, so we didn't have We didn't have time to stuff a puck in a celebrity's pants this time. So I personally have taken a puck to the hometown, thus the song from Montgomery Gentry. I've taken a puck to the hometown of one of the Hawks players. You have to identify where the town is, who the player is, and where I hid the puck in that town to win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, smarty pants. Let's see how fast people get it this time.
All right, do it.
I have placed this puck in land of ice and snow.
Okay.
The land of ice and snow. In a land that's not known just for ice hockey, but some very unusual sports as well.
Okay.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
In a place where fish are plentiful.
Okay, fish are plentiful.
Remember, you got to guess the player, the hometown, and where I hid the puck. First correct caller, 312-981-7200. I should probably tell Mike.
Wait a minute. We have to say where in the town?
Where?
Under a rock?
What town, where in the town, and the person?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
This is tough.
No. Come here. Sit down. Mary, come here.
Okay.
Here's the announcement. announcement about the show.
All right. Oh, here's the announcement. Okay, while people think, while it stews.
So while you make those calls.
Yes.
Okay. Losing Kevin and Ross and the way we lost them was difficult, but we didn't expect they were stealing from the company, let's be honest. So, you know, they had to be taken out. So we're excited. I'm excited. I think you guys are. I can speak for you guys. You may not like these two. But I'm excited to announce the new executive producer of the program is the lovely and talented Mary Sandberg. Mary, thank you for agreeing to do the show.
You're welcome.
Way to go, Mary.
Thank you.
Mary, what experience do you bring to this job?
I worked, do you want me to name names?
Sure, it's fine.
About 10 years with Steve Dahl.
Good God, and you survived.
Yeah, almost 3 years.
At God bless you.
The B96.
What was the morning show there?
Yeah.
What was the name of the show?
The J Show.
The J Show.
Yeah.
I don't think I heard that.
Yeah.
But good luck to them.
As in J-N-I-I-C-E, of course.
Okay, sure. Yeah. So you worked with Dahl.
I did work with Dahl.
Once one of the all-time greats.
Yes.
And the J Show.
Yes.
All right. So what do you think?
I interned with Kevin Matthews, too, which is really important to me. But
yeah, well, Kev's a great guy.
Yeah.
So. What do you think you can do for this show? Anything?
Well, I could tell you to break right now.
Okay, all right, easy. I also want to welcome in your sidekick. Mike, do you want a title of some sort?
He has a title.
What's your title, Mike?
I have two titles.
Okay, what are your titles? What's your title?
I'm a producer on this show and the sports programming coordinator.
Yeah, but what's your title on this show? Just
it has
producer?
A technical. No, technical, it has a cooler name.
Technical director? Something.
Technical director. He's the technical director.
Well, obviously, you're like very wrapped up in it since you don't know the title.
Sounds like he's on a movie set.
This is why you're the executive producer, because you know his title. At any rate, they both have tremendous experience, and you know, we want to wish both Ross and Kevin well in finding an attorney.
Who?
Ross and who? But we're glad you're here.
We haven't decided who's playing the son of yours. And who's playing the disappointing role?
Be weird if you were my son. I gotta say that right now. That would be odd. That would really change the whole chemistry of the place.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
The entire country is looking at the state of Wisconsin. Wisconsin has a national platform.
I think what's important is not what somebody's theory is, but how many votes have you gotten? That's what we determine elections based on.
Last week, there was a poll, national poll, that had us 1 point ahead.
The poll just came out where essentially we're even, and I'm feeling it.
It's wacky. It's Wisconsin. It's Wisconsin wacky. It's the primary. Oh, and nobody's got the puck clues even cranking in the right direction. We'll give you more clues here in just a second as to who might be the key to get you free Blackhawks tickets. At News 3, Jessica. Jessica, are very busy today on Wisconsin primary day, and she joins us now. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning.
Thanks for being on, and thanks for the fine work you're doing in Madison.
Oh, no problem. Thanks a lot.
So here's the deal. You look at this primary calendar. I think back to when we were in Des Moines. And you look at this primary calendar, and it was hard to believe that Wisconsin would not only be in play, but would be a huge player at this point. When did you guys see this coming?
Gosh, I mean, it's, you know, the way this primary race has developed, it was hard to predict sort of at every turn. But there was a lot of, I mean, we were talking about that back in Iowa. Here, would we matter? We've had late primaries traditionally in Wisconsin, and I mean, oftentimes we pick the right folks in part because the race is largely decided before it gets to us.
Right.
But I think, you know, over the last few weeks, it sort of began to develop and became clear that we were going to have a say in this race. And now, I mean, just the last 2 weeks have just been a complete deluge of our airwaves, so many ads, so many candidate visits. I mean, every single day, there, you know, days where all five candidates have been around our state. So it's been pretty incredible.
Yeah, and by the way, some very bizarre newsmaking moments as well. Obviously, you had the Trump horrible week last week, and that included something that nobody's even talking about much. And one of the more bizarre political speeches you'll ever see from Sarah Palin, who got crickets when she went out. And that's really the thing, Jessica, you know this. And Andrea, you know this as well. Politics, in politics, honesty is only an option.
Right.
It's not the go-to. It's just one of the things you might engage in. Maybe we'll be honest. So no matter what happens in the primary, people will spin it. They'll make it their own story. But I have a sense, and maybe it's just wishful thinking, but I have a sense that Trump has lost a lot of momentum in Wisconsin. Are you feeling that?
Well, I mean, I think all along it seemed as if he had a ceiling here, somewhere around, you know, 30% or so. And we had folks in Wisconsin, some of our elected officials who months ago had come up and said, he's not my guy. He does not speak to conservatives in Wisconsin. Now, that wasn't necessarily our governor, but there were leaders in our state house that were saying, no, this is not what Wisconsin conservatism is about. And I mean, and that came on strong, especially in the Milwaukee area. Milwaukee conservative radio are not fans of Donald Trump, and they have been beating that drum for some time. So, but then you have the things that happened this week, his comments about abortion, that, you know, those kind of things are really sort of speaking to conservative voters in Wisconsin and have seemed to really heavily turn people toward Ted Cruz in Wisconsin. And I have to say, the other thing you brought up, Sarah Palin, that is really interesting to me, I covered rallies when she was campaigning in John McCain in 2008 in Wisconsin, and people were wildly adoring of her in the Milwaukee market. We would go to rallies and people were there to see her over the top of the ticket. And to have that speech the other night be crickets, you know, at the end she said, you know, at the end of the speech, she's saying, thanks for letting me crash your fish fry.
Right. Literally, by the way, literally, that's what it felt like. It felt like somebody walked into a family fish fry.
Yeah. But you know what, Jessica, you're right, though. When we were in Iowa, remember, Steve, I was at Java Joe's, and people were saying Sarah Palin might be coming.
Yeah.
They were so thrilled at the thought of her stopping by. So my question, kind of a Cruz segue, Wisconsin could be a chink in Trump's armor. I understand that. But how would a Cruz victory there change everything on the national stage?
Well, I think, you know, part of it depends on the delegates that he gets. We have 42 up for grabs in Wisconsin. You know, if he, you know, the winner gets about half of them, and then it's by congressional district. So, like, if he pulls down a good chunk of our delegates, you know, I think the conventionalism is, like, it sort of proves that he can start pulling delegates away from Trump, and if not, prevent him from getting to 1237, you know, at least delay that for some time. And then, you know, John Kasich is still competing heavily in our Madison market as well. He's trying to win one congressional district at least to walk away from Wisconsin with something. But then, you know, there's just the narrative of the whole thing. If Trump loses a state, I just, you know, just a little bit ago saw him on Fox News this morning saying, you know, he was being asked if, you know, if he wins by or if he loses by less than 10 points, which is what the polls are showing him losing by in Wisconsin, is that a victory? And he's saying, nope, not a victory. I still won't feel good about that. But it doesn't matter. We're going to win the rest of them anyway.
I guarantee you, I promise you, after he loses tomorrow, he will say something completely different. This is the guy that gave you five positions on abortion. I didn't know there were five positions on abortion. Yeah. He gave you five.
Right.
Yeah, so this is a guy who tomorrow afternoon will be talking about some conspiracy theory or how, in fact, in his bizarre Trump land, he won Wisconsin.
Right.
It'll happen. And by the way, Ted Cruz is no prize. Ted Cruz is no prize. I'm a little disappointed that you guys are picking Cruz, but you got to pick somebody.
He signed cheese.
he did. And the sort of funny moment yesterday is obviously you guys being Chicagoans know something about cheeseheads. And he said there was a rule yesterday that he wears no funny hats in this campaign. So he actually, like, ducked when a little kid tried to put a cheesehead on his head yesterday.
So a little kid tried to put it on his head, but he wouldn't. You know why? Because there's a latch, and that's how you open the top of his head, and you see the wires and the circuitry. Creepy Ted.
Oh, my stars.
Creepy Ted. Listen, I know you got a million things to do. I really appreciate the perspective, but it will surprise you if it's not Cruz. What's your idea for the Democrats again? Is it going to be Bernie?
Well, I think the most indications look like it probably will be. But the question, again, then, is by how much? You know, he needs to win. He needs to win a pretty large margin in Wisconsin again to start making some sort of a dent in her delegate lead. But most of the polls here are showing somewhere between, you know, 3 and 5%. He's campaigning incredibly hard in the Madison area. And what was interesting is, you know, over the summer we saw he had like 11,000 people at the Kohl Center in Madison. Last weekend he had about 8,000, and then on Sunday he had about 4,000. Now, it was a beautiful day in Madison,
but
so it's hard to get people to go sit inside. But it also was, you know, significantly less than what we've seen. And I'm sure, you know, while they were saying to us, like, well, have you seen 4,000 people come out for Hillary Clinton? It's still clearly at the Kohl Center was a smaller crowd than they were hoping for. So, you know, we got to see if they had the mobilization on the ground to get the people to the polls, especially some of the young people at UW-Madison, UW-Milwaukee, and whether there's any impact that our state's voter ID law has on the results of the polls today.
Jess Garb, News 3 in Madison, at News 3 Jessica, News number 3 Jessica. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you again.
Yeah, great to be with you.
All right, see you, bye. We have a winner of the tickets for the Hawks coming.
You're kidding.
Nope.
They know the town, the player, and where it is?
It's pretty crazy. And by the way, I didn't even get to my best clue. Rhymes with Schminland. I didn't even get to that.
Oh, it's crazy.
Believable.
Finland, Finland, Finland. The country where I want to be. Pony trekking or camping. Or just watching TV.
Finland, yes, it's Finland. Finland. Jim from Elmhurst. Tell me who, where, and where.
Teuvo Teravainen,
yes.
Helsinki, Finland.
Yes.
And I'm thinking Sound Mannerheim Street at the Central Railway Station.
Unbelievable.
No way.
Unbelievable.
Come on.
Unbelievable.
So how do you two know each other?
I saw it. Uh-huh. I was there.
Jim and I actually were in a sauna together in Finland.
Yeah, I'm sure.
By the way, it's sauna, not sauna.
In a hot spring?
Unbelievable.
That's
unbelievable.
Really good.
Congratulations, Jim. We have tickets for you, and you're qualified for the season tickets from Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Nice job. You finished full.
Thank you so much.
All right, hold the line. Is there some sort of scam going on? Is this like the Panama Papers?
And you didn't give out any sort of, you know, telepathic weird clue to him?
I don't think so. You don't know the other cool clues that I was going to throw out?
Aside from it rhymes with Schminland?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Land of Ice and Snow. Remember I said that?
You did.
Plenty of fish.
Fish of plenty.
Fish of plenty, right? How about this? A land of technology. Because Nokia started in Finland.
Right.
Finland was like the seat of cell phones for years. A land of bizarre sports, along with their number one sport of ice hockey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the wife carrying championships are there, and the cell phone throwing championships are in Finland as well.
Did you make that up, or is that really
those
a,
are actually
an event?
Those are true?
Because I thought you were going to say curling.
No, they're true.
Okay.
Yeah, curling. I'm sure
curling's
curling.
Big.
Yeah, yeah. And there's one sauna for every 2.5 people in Finland. The country has about 5 million people. There's 1.8 million saunas.
Is that what they call going to the baths?
Yeah.
You know, when they go to the
my mother's houses. Side of the family, they were all finished. So we used to have saunas on Saturday nights when I was a little kid.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that how you'd finish out the weekend? I'm sorry. Come on.
Oh, unbelievable.
You know, you said Schminland.
No,
I had to just put that in.
Schminland was quality material. 188,000 lakes in Finland. I know. I'm bored, too. Hey,
no,
congratulations.
No, that was good. Those are great
rhymes
clues.
With Schminland. Congratulations. Hey, before we take the break, do we have the Sarah Palin tape? Okay, we were talking to Jessica Arp from News 3 in Madison. We're not making this up. Sarah Palin, who was a rock star for the Republican Party, made some bizarre appearances for Trump, had to run home when her husband cracked his fishing boat into a grizzly bear in Alaska or whatever he ran into. So it's been a bit of a rough ride. So she shows up in Wisconsin the other day at a fish fry to do a speech for Trump. Here's some highlights.
Illegal immigrants welcoming them in, even inducing and seducing them with gift baskets. Come on over the border and here's a gift basket of teddy bears and soccer balls. Our kids and our grandkids, they'll never know then what it is to be rewarded for that entrepreneurial spirit that God creates within us in order to work and to produce and to strive and to thrive and to really be alive. Wisconsin, Reagan saved the hog. Here, your Harley Davidson. It was Reagan who saved that. In the establishment, maybe they're going to start a new hashtag movement, a hashtag never Reagan. They don't like that.
I mean, she got nothing. She got nothing.
Well, she was all over the board. Reagan saved the hog?
Hashtag this, hashtag... Wait, what?
It's bizarre. But it made Trump's speeches look coherent.
My favorite was the gift baskets of teddy bears and soccer balls.
Yeah, I don't know what she's talking about. Clearly, she doesn't either. Take a second here to say thank you and give props, homie, to Joe from Chipotle. Route 59 and 95th. In Naperville.
Okay.
So I go there last night just grabbing quick dinner.
I love Chipotle.
Walk in, they go, Steve. I pick it up and they go, listen, this is Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Joe's the manager. I assume he's the manager. And Joe goes, listen, I'm going to do something for you. Dinner's free. And I said, no. Dinner's free. He goes, and I want you to go out and do an act of kindness, an act of...
You pay it forward.
Pay it forward with... Yeah. It's not an act of kindness. What's the word?
Random act of kindness.
Yeah. Cool. Pay it forward, a random act of kindness for somebody.
Very nice. So have you done that yet?
So yeah, you brought us Chipotle?
Did it last... No, that wouldn't be an act of kindness. It'd be an act of go buy your own. So I did a couple of things last night that don't need details. But the point of the story is if you go to this... Route 59 and 95th Street Chipotle. Mm-hmm. If this Joe guy's working or ask for Joe, just high five him. Joe's trying to change the world.
That's very, very cool.
Yeah. Because what happens is if somebody does that for you, you then, I assume, feel like doing it five times over.
I completely agree, yeah.
Right? So good guy, Joe.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be expensive. Just, it could be at someone a cup of coffee or I would say give a random person a hug, but that might be weird.
The guy that I hugged in the parking lot did think it was a little weird. That's why I went with a different route for the other random act. Nice job, Joe. You're a good guy. It's 8:14. Before we get to Dean, Dave, I think I told you that, with Teuvo Teravainen, our Finnish ambassador for the
mm-hmm.
show today.
Yes.
They have the wife-carrying world championships and the cell phone world championships in Finland. This was just sent to me by a careful listener or an observant listener. They also have the air guitar world championship. They have the mosquito swatting championships where you try swatting as many mosquitoes as you can in 5 minutes. They have the ant nest sitting competition in Finland. It's a long winter, Dave. You got to do stuff to entertain yourself.
Wow. They're very competitive.
The ant nest sitting competition. See how long you can sit on a hill of ants.
Ooh.
They have ice swimming. You know ice fishing?
Yes.
This is ice swimming.
Okay, isn't that dangerous?
I would think. Yeah, I would really think. World Cup snowshoe football, where you play soccer in snowshoes. I don't even know how that's possible. Kutema Jarvi Sex Festival.
What?
Really?
Oh, don't act like you haven't been. The Kutema Jarvi Sex Festival. Yeah, I don't know what goes on.
Is that a place?
Kutema Jarvi? That's the position.
Okay. That's who it's named after.
That's what I was afraid of.
The festival.
They also have the Swamp Soccer World Championships in Finland. It requires the body to be much more physically coordinated when you get into a swamp and play football.
They have swamps?
Parts of Finland. Well, they got 188,000 lakes, so you got to have swamps.
I guess they're swamps.
I think some of these sound kind of cool.
But then there's this one, which I think is the real test. The Finnish Sauna World Championships. In the Finnish Sauna World Championships, the last man standing wins. You have to see how long you can tolerate 110 degrees Celsius Finnish sauna.
Okay, 110 degrees Celsius.
I've done the math. 5,000 Fahrenheit.
Oof. Yeah. Think if you had some of these on the same day, like the sex festival in the swamp, and then you go to the sauna. I mean, you can get them all done in a day or two.
I don't think so. I think if you go to the swamp festival and then you try to have the sex festival, you're not going to get a lot of action. It'd be the no action festival. Yeah. Welcome to Helsinki.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what?
live from Channel 9, sponsored by Captain James A. Lovell Federal Healthcare Center. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning, and again, thank you. Last night, after Steve had that random act of kindness at the Chipotle, I had a thorn in my paw, and Steve pulled the thorn out of paw, and I think pretty much saved my life.
There's no doubt about it, and that was just one of the random acts of kindness. I didn't get a minute's sleep. I was randomly kind all over the place.
All over the place.
It's amazing.
Just oozing.
Isn't that a nice gesture, though? Completely out of nowhere.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
What kind of burrito did you get?
You know, I went with the bowl. I went with the chicken burrito bowl.
That's what I get when I go there.
Yeah.
Did you say I'd like to change my order? I want 10 burrito bowls?
No. That's a Grzanich move. Sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks, we continue. And Dean is again sponsored by the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Healthcare Center. All right, who died from Star Wars?
It's the voice actor who did the voice of Admiral Ackbar. Do you remember from Return of the Jedi? It's a trap, his famous line, it's a trap.
Kinda.
Return of the Jedi.
Would we know the guy?
You would know him if you saw the character. I don't even know how to describe him. I mean, the character looks very Muppet-like. But the voice actor was Eric Bauersfeld. Did other voices in Jedi, did voices in The Force Awakens, huge in the voice community. It's a sad passing. 93 years old.
Good run.
And the guy's, still doing
that's a good run.
Voices in the movies.
The Force Awakens Blu-ray is out today. We're telling you that for two reasons. One, because it's on Dean's list, but also because people still have Blu-rays. Is that a thing? People collect Blu-rays?
Sure, of course.
What do you mean, of course? I didn't know that.
What do you mean? Do you think they didn't?
No, I didn't think people were big Blu-ray types anymore.
No, Blu-ray is...
is that a big deal?
I think of the, of actual physical DVDs, Blu-ray is the preferred format now.
Hmm. Did not know that. I still have my Beta player, my Beta VCR.
I'm still playing laser discs.
Yeah, the laser discs. I forgot about this.
I like the laser discs.
Looked like giant records.
Talk about this, as if we didn't know that the Disney company already has genius marketing.
Mm-hmm.
When you go on any ride at any of the Disney parks, where you exit is into a gift shop, so you can spend even more money.
That's the same thing we do here on the show when we do a tour. You exit into the Steve Cochran Show
gift shop. You wind up in the Steve Cochran Show gift shop.
Yep.
So what they're doing now, the Blu-ray is out today, the DVD, the digital version, all of that. But they have different extras in different stores. So, for example, at Target, they have certain collectible packaging, 20 minutes of exclusive bonus content, never seen before interviews with some of the characters. Walmart has completely different packaging, completely different extras. Best Buy,
that is pretty smart.
Same.
That is pretty
Amazon,
smart.
You name it. So if you are a super fan, of which there are
many. You're
going
to go to all the stores.
You're going to go to all the stores, and you're going to wind up with five or six different versions of the movie. In terms of deleted scenes, there are six scenes. They're all less than a minute. We have a little bit of audio of one of the deleted scenes that I'm sure will blow your minds.
Let me hear it.
This was going to be the first gathering of the original cast and new cast.
This feeling came over me that hadn't happened since Tunisia on the first one.
That's the director.
Star Wars seemed like a kind of universe that
J.J.
might accept
Abrams.
Me.
I just remember thinking, we are about to shoot this thing, and
a
I'm
a lot
ready.
Of behind-the-scenes stuff like that.
I still thought
that's
that
worth
was
having
auditioning.
Six or seven versions of exactly the same movie, isn't it?
That's kind of cool, actually. I mean, I'm not that into it like you are, and Audrey is, but it's kind of cool.
I haven't watched the whole thing, but I am super excited to watch the whole thing. Again.
Did I tell you that Trump ruined House of Cards for me?
House of Cards, you did.
Oh, I told you that already.
You did mention that to me.
I did watch another episode last night, by the way.
What are you on?
Two.
Episode
well, I'm about to start
okay.
three.
More with Dean live from Channel 9. All right, so Bill Cosby's not in jail?
He's not. He has not been charged with anything formally.
All right, what's happening?
He has not been convicted of anything, I should say. Apparently, the Republican convention's going on behind me. I don't know if you can
hear. Well, I just noticed that Larry and Robin and Paul have wandered into the newsroom for hugs. And,
it's a National Hug and Anchor Day or something.
Oh,
like that.
So that's what's happening. Do they realize we're working here?
Yeah, I don't want to touch anybody, so actually I'm glad
no,
I'm not.
No, we're working here. Settle down, people.
Yeah. I have to have another one of my I'm on with Cochrane in the 8 o'clock hour. Can you stay out of the newsroom chats?
Yeah, no kidding.
Today?
It's not like you're doing, you know, go stay. They got 48 studios over there, and they're wandering into your space.
I have this riot going on behind you every two weeks.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Larry's just getting handsy with everybody at this point. So the Cosby thing.
Larry Potash, walking HR violation.
That's very true.
No, they're coming your way, dude. They're going to hug you in about 2 seconds. No, they're making your way to your corner.
I'm not touching anybody.
Anyway, Cosby's, speaking of this,
remember,
Cosby's in jail?
Little Rudy?
Sure.
Who was on the show, Keisha...
Keisha Knight Pullum, Frizen Glosh, and Farfignuga.
She has come forward in an interview yesterday and saying, don't judge the man before there's an actual conviction, I think, that she knows the man. She still loves him.
Well, good.
And that's what's being described is not the man that she knows.
Well, I don't doubt that. It's not the man I knew. It's not the man, but I can't imagine having worked with him every day and been a part of his TV family and gone through this. So I certainly understand why she'd have trouble accepting it. But I'm going to tell you, 247 women can't be wrong. You know, because tell me who's getting paid off. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Tracy Morgan, got anything on him?
Yes, as a matter of fact, he's been to heaven.
What?
Apparently.
What?
Tracy Morgan, 2 years ago when he was in that terrible car accident and was in a coma for quite some time, he says in a new interview that while he was in that coma, went to heaven, saw his deceased father.
Wow.
And his deceased father urged him to fight on, don't give up, go back. You have to take care of your wife and kids.
Wow.
So it's, it's pretty profound, kind of like a touched by an angel.
Any chance that he got to heaven and whoever is the gatekeeper said wrong elevator?
Hello, Mr. Hart.
I mean, have you seen Tracy's act? Come on. And finally, Gwyneth Paltrow's in the news.
Oh, this is maybe my favorite story of the month. Steve, we all want to look beautiful.
Sure, yeah. You're preaching to the choir.
Listen to who I'm telling. Right. So Gwyneth Paltrow has revealed, in order to reduce redness and puffiness on her face, if you listen to WGN, we have a variety of products for that sort of thing.
Sure, of course, yeah.
But what Gwyneth Paltrow does is she goes to a place where she is stung by dozens of bees.
Okay, freak show.
On her face.
All right, freak show.
She says that it's a thousands of years old treatment. Uh-huh. It promotes circulation, it reduces arthritis, and hurts like hell.
When did she have a conscious uncoupling with her senses? What is wrong with her?
I like, just the idea. You walk into a spa and you're looking at the menu. Should I have the massage? Should I have the pedicure? No, I'd like to be stung by dozens of bees, please.
That's why when I go into a spa, they go, would you like the massage or the pedicure? I go, no, just kick me in the crotch. Just come around from behind the counter and just kick me right here. Kind of moron. I like Gwyneth Paltrow, but that's idiotic.
Celebrities are just like all the rest of us.
Yes,
just like all the rest
of us.
That's
going to be the title of Dean's After School Special. all right, I'll see you later. Bye.
Joel Quenneville picks up his 800th career coaching victory here at the United Center today as the Blackhawks win the original six battle. The Blackhawks 6 and the Bruins 4.
Eleanor's friend. Coach Q standing by. Remember Coach Q and Eleanor hanging out at the Park Ridge Activity Center? I think Coach Q wants to rep her. He's never been an agent before, but he sees something in Eleanor. He sees something in her game. Coach Q joins us now, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Don't you agree with that? Don't you think Eleanor could be a big star?
Eleanor was, she was a treat. She was special. She had very competitive, full of life. Man, that was a, I love that day. Oh, what a thrill that was. Sir.
That's the Park Ridge Senior Center. You can see it. It's part of the Hawks One Goal thing, ChicagoBlackhawks.com, for all the one goal videos. And when you scout someone like that, is it I mean, it was it a particular move she made, or was it just a twinkle in her eye?
Yeah, the relentlessness, her pursuing the ball, and just had to, you know, had to make sure that she did everything to win. I liked, she loved, you know,
she's a scrapper. She's a scrapper.
Yep.
There's no question
Very
about
competitive.
It. Hey, congratulations. 800 wins. Let's go through all of them.
Yeah, right. But very interesting game, 800, that's for sure.
Oh, that was, man, a, let me tell you something.
That was quite the roller coaster. It was a great, probably could have been our best 40 minutes, almost 40 minutes, say 39 and a half of the year. And then we got against a good Boston team. They can do a lot of good things, and they can score, and all of a sudden we get.
Yeah, and they did.
It was kind of a self-inflicted wound there to get them in the game, and then they kept coming, and they're you know, they're pushing for a playoff spot, and they gave us that intensity that it's, they had to win the game. And but I thought we settled down in the last 10 minutes of the game and found a way to do it.
And held on at the end. Now, let me tell you something. I'm sitting there at the United Center. Dave, you were there as well.
Yes, I was.
And not in the same seats, Coach, because I don't like to be seen with Ennett in public. You know that. And,
thanks. He didn't he didn't respond.
It gets to be 6-0, and I'm texting people going, think they get to 10? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Oh, I think that's where the jinx came in.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, you're getting cocky there.
I got, you're darn right I got cocky. 6-0. And then those two quickies, and you go, that's all right. That's all right. And then, man, 6-4 with 10 minutes to go. Let me tell you something. I got a little pucker going on there. Right there.
That's, yeah, that would have been nobody's ever lost a game up by 6. And And we still have the record when we were in St. Louis. We had we're down 5-0 to Toronto in Toronto to start of the third period, and we ended up winning.
Is that right?
So yeah, that's I think today it's still the biggest comeback.
That was win 147, I think. I'm just looking at the Coach Q list. 800 wins, and all of them great. But, you know, this is a reason he keeps bringing Cubs back to Chicago for us Blackhawks fans. We got a lot to talk about with this team. Maybe a quick traffic update. Going to take a couple seconds here, Coach. Stand by. Mary, update those cars for me, please.
No change. I-90 eastbound before Lee. Two left lanes still blocked because of that earlier construction accident. Westbound after Lee, the left lane is blocked, and Toohey is blocked between Wolf and Lee. No word yet on when anything is going to reopen. The inbound Ikes up to an hour and 50 minutes in from 53, hour 25 from Mannheim. 46 inbound Kennedy from O'Hare. 46 on the inbound Stevenson. The Ryan 26 from 95th. And about 30 both ways on the Edens between Lake Hook and the Kennedy. Inbound Lakeshore Drive, Bryn Mawr to Fullerton. Traffic sponsored by Account Temps. Are you feeling short-staffed? Account Temps can provide temporary accounting and finance professionals to help with increased workloads. Call them today or visit accounttemps.com. Account Temps, a Robert Half company. Mary Vandeville, WGN Traffic Central.
Talking with Coach Kidd, sponsored by Hooters, America's original wing joint. And frankly, it's a way of life. Let's go to the hospital. How's Hossa?
He's doubtful for today, but he's going to be fine.
Still feel good about the postgame the other day when you said it didn't look too serious?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Good.
We're sticking with that.
Crawford?
Well, he'll get on here later on today and progressing. Hopefully, you know, we're looking at getting him in a game here at the end of the week against Columbus.
Excellent news. That's very good news. Dave, say hi to Coach.
Coach, good morning. The penalty kill. Last five games, you've won four of these five, 11-for-11. Have you seen a pretty significant difference?
You know, I think Marcus Kruger coming back in the lineup, I think it helps taking away, not taking away, but adding to a special penalty killer that he takes pride in it. He's kind of been on our leader in that area. That's been his niche. Usually starts off and he's the first and the third and the fifth rotation on the kill. So he absorbs a lot of the important minutes of it. And, you know, he takes pride in doing it the right way, getting in shooting lanes, clears, you know, trying to win that first faceoff, as everybody is out there. But I just think that that's been his baby since he's been here. And we've been very effective in that area, and we had him gone for a long stretch there, started off okay without him, and then we get started to slow down on it. So his return, I think, has helped bring a little bit more awareness to that area.
Coyotes tonight, St. Louis Thursday night, and then you close out the regular season with Columbus. And any particular goal over these next three games?
Well, we'll see. There's still a couple things that can happen. We can still catch either one of these teams in a perfect scenario. And, you know, you'd stay, well, you'd like to get home ice. And, you know, you still could be playing either one of those two teams that are, you know, top two of the three teams in the league as far as the records go, but we still think they're as good as anybody in the game. So, you know, we got a tough opponent no matter how you want to look at it. And but that's what we're going to try to do. We'll see what happens tonight here. We'll dictate what happens in a Thursday. And if we can, you know, based on what can happen, we'll see. But there's still something to be determined between us. And those two teams got something at stake as well. So we'll let it play out.
Dallas could lose out, obviously, but you got a little more control over the St. Louis side of the equation. You don't care who you play in the first round, right? I mean, home ice nice, but you got to play one of them.
Yeah, you got to pick your poison, either one of those two teams. So they're both very good. We've had a little bit more success this year with St. Louis. But they're as good as anybody in the league. They got everybody, well, I was going to say everybody back, and a couple of guys are missing there last night. So they're expected to be back in the playoffs. They're as deep as any team. They're playing well now. Dallas has had an amazing year. They're fast. They're quick. We have some of our guys over there. So, you know, whatever happens, happens. I know that that's going to be a tough a test as you're going to have in any of the rounds. So that'll get your attention right out of the gate.
I know this isn't your most pressing concern, but there seems to have been some debate lately about Panarin and the Calder Trophy, which we kind of assumed he had locked up. Now his last two games, he's got 4 points in each. He's the first star of the week. In your opinion, is he the top rookie in the league?
Absolutely. I know hopefully I'm not biased in that, but I've been
biased. It's not close.
I watch him every day in every game. He's a special player. His consistency has been in place. He's a work ethic. He's got a great feel for the game. He's got a wow factor that only top guys or special players coming in the league possess. And he's played all the games. He's been around the whole year, and he's survived the test of time. And I know his numbers are impressive as well. So I would think that he deserves it. I know there's a couple other promising rookies that have had special years in their own rights, and but I would think that you know, Redman's numbers are very, very impressive, and his play is what I like the best of it all.
How's the English coming?
Good. He's starting to understand. Starting to just, you know, whether he's nodding or not, but there's, it's not me no understand anymore.
Yeah, because I was mentioned the other day, I actually speak three languages. I speak American, I speak Canadian, and I speak Brit. So I got three languages down. I don't know about you, Coach.
Yeah, I don't know about Brit.
Yeah, but you speak American and Canadian?
Yep.
Yeah, good for you, man. Good for you.
Very well.
Yeah, well, let's not go crazy. 800 wins. You head into another week leading up to the playoffs. You know, you got the guys cooking on all cylinders, and you got a legend, a guy I know you love, Marian Hossa, who, by the way, is 84 years old. A lot of people don't know that. On the verge of 500 goals. You know, how do you balance the guys trying to get him 500 versus let's keep winning, fellas?
I think we had that early run in the year when Kanner was trying to sustain that streak, and you could see a little bit of it in the last game with Host trying to get him the 500th, and then, you know, Kanner had those games there, and when we started getting to the 20s, it was like, okay, you know, we still got, let's play to win the game. We, you know, worry about that other stuff later, but it seemed like there was a lot of times you could just see everybody's trying to get him the puck, everybody's getting the puck, and there's always a better play, but let's keep trying to get him the puck. So that went on for a bit, but, you know, understandable from where we're at, and hopefully, you know, we can get him back out here the last couple and accomplish that.
There was a good moment as well in the midst of your 800 and Kaner's hat trick and a lot of milestones on Sunday. There was a moment that I think it really says a lot about hockey. You know, at the end of the playoffs, the handshake line is one of the coolest things that happens in sports. You beat the snot out of each other for a series, and then you do the handshake line. It's a very cool moment. And you had a linesman who retired after really an incredible career. And you had the Bruins, who are on the edge of missing the playoffs. And a bunch of guys had left the ice, and then he realized, no, let's do the right thing. And whether it was their captain or coach or whoever, almost the entire team comes back on the ice. Our guys were out there honoring this linesman as well. I mean, you know, I don't know if you take this for granted, Coach, but it's one of those things the rest of us, I think, notice. You ought to be proud of your sport for that.
Oh, it's a great sport, and you know, the tradition of the linesmen are part of the fabric here in the NHL. And Andy Mackelman got a great career, local ref, 1,500 games. I don't know how many times I've seen him. We see him a lot, and you know, so it's happy. The great celebration was family before the game on the ice, and very proud day for him. And great, he wanted to go out in Chicago, and 1,500 was a perfect number. And
pretty cool.
You know, it did great. Very cool.
Hey, before I let you go, is there a linesman you like to yell at more than any other in the league now? Do you see a guy you go, I'm going to light him up tonight?
No, but you know what? I think the linesmen are starting to say, gee, I've really calmed down behind the bench over the years.
Lou Piniella told me once that he walked out to bring the starting lineup out before a game, and he went out and the team was slumping. He went out with a lineup card. He says, all right, now which one are you going to throw me out, because I'm going to go nuts in the second inning no matter what's happening.
That's very good. I like Lou.
Yeah, he was the best. Listen, 800 again. Congratulations. We're all proud of you, but this team, we're getting cranked up for another run, and I sure liked what I saw for 39 and a half minutes Sunday.
Yeah, I did too. Let's get that 60 minute going there. And with that's a goal here this week, and hopefully we can get excited about next week.
All right, slap Arizona around tonight. I'll talk to you later.
All right, thank you.
That's Coach Q. Going to beat the Coyotes tonight. So
is that a guarantee?
Do you want me to guarantee it?
No, because sometimes when you guarantee it, it doesn't happen.
Do you want me to not guarantee it, or do you like me to stay out of it completely?
Don't guarantee it.
I want a guarantee.
I guarantee you I'm not predicting tonight's win.
There you go.
There you go.
Curry Webb, I would say, probably the best in the world bunker player. See how she does, Sandy.
Incredible touch. Incredible touch.
Oh,
yes,
yes!
You beauty!
Curry Webb! Out of the sand. We're only on day two. Well, but you can trust Curry to provide a highlight.
9-11. You would think with all the time amateurs spend in the sand, we'd live a little better. But no, we're afraid. We're very, very afraid. Curry Webb is in studio. This is an honor. We've never met. I'm a big fan. And congratulations on all your success. Is it 41 wins now?
41, yes.
Let's go through all of them, round by round.
Okay.
Shot by shot. Never gets old talking about it, does it?
No, never gets old. It's always good to remember all those good times, because they don't happen as often as the bad times on the golf course.
Exactly. And now one of the reasons you're here is because we have an exciting event to announce at the Merritt Club coming up later this summer, the LPGA. Hopefully going to be an irregular tour stop position for a long time to come, because we are golf starved in Chicago. It's silly.
It is silly. We used to have a regular stop here in Chicago for a few years, and I used to always love coming and try and catch a Cubs game or just get into the city. We've always had such great support here in Chicago as well.
Yeah, this is golf crazy because we have a short season and we have tons of great legendary golf courses here. Merritt Club's fun. We had a women's open there. Was it in 03, 04?
2000.
2000.
Yeah.
And I get to play the course a little bit. It's great. I have a feeling you can beat my number. But you're here promoting it today. When are you going to get a chance to go out and play a little?
Well, I'm not sure if I'll get out there before we're back here in July.
For tournament week?
Yeah, but it would have been nice, but yesterday there was some snow flurries, which I'm allergic to, so...
I would think, right?
Yeah, I don't like the cold coming from Australia.
But it's winter back home now. What does winter mean? Or I guess it's fall technically, right?
Yeah. Where I'm from in Australia, it's I'd say the weather is milder than South Florida where I live.
Oh.
In the States, yeah.
So you get chilly in South Florida compared to home?
Yes, it gets a little bit colder than where I'm from in Australia.
The clip we just played was you extracting yourself from a couple of bunkers. Where's the great bunker play come from? Did you have a mentor, a bunker mentor?
I actually think Australians in general are really good bunker players. I don't know if it's we grow up, especially playing down in the sandbelt courses in Melbourne, and most of the great golf courses in Australia have really great bunkering. And if you can't play a decent bunker shot, you're in a lot of trouble on a lot of those golf courses. So I think we learnt from a young age to be good out of the bunker.
And it's tough to teach amateurs over the radio, but everything I've ever heard about great bunker play is repetition. You know, it's repetition and commitment.
Yeah, and it's
you know, commitment to what works, obviously, as opposed to what doesn't.
I think it's letting the club do the work for you and not trying to lift the ball out of the bunker yourself. Just let the club do it.
Gene Sarazen invented the sand wedge, you know, what, 1930, whenever it may have been. Have you ever taken, picked up some of the old hickory clubs from back in the day? I don't know how much of a golf historian you are. I don't know how those guys hit those at all.
I don't. I just had hit a mashie a few minutes ago with a wiffle ball.
By the way, those are golf terms.
Yeah.
I don't know how they did it either. I mean, the scores that they used to shoot were amazing with the equipment they played with.
Yeah, it's really crazy. Andrea, say hi.
Hi, Kari. I think more and more we're all golf enthusiasts. I'm a big golfer.
Fanatics.
Kari, we love to play, but we're not that great. But do you find at least more and more women are getting involved with golf, not just because their husbands or their boyfriends play, but they really enjoy it, which I think is great.
Yeah, I think the women's side of the game is growing, and I think all the golf entities, the USGA, the RNA, PGA of America, understand that that's where the game's going to grow, is getting women to be involved in the game. So there's a big push right now to encourage more women to play golf. And I think it's great. I think, I think women are doing it just for the recreation side, but I think they understand that if they want to be successful in business, that's where a lot of deals are done. So I played with a woman in a pro-am a couple of weeks ago, and she said she'd only been playing for three years, and I said, what made you take the game up? And she said, so that I could get promoted in my career, because I knew golf was an important factor in being able to be out here and do the deals.
The UL International Crown is a unique event. It's going to be the only professional event in Chicago this year. And it's a team event, right?
Yes, it is, yeah.
All right, so give me the format.
Eight countries qualify, and the countries just qualified were announced on Monday. And Australia just squeaked into the last spot. It was pretty nerve-wracking Sunday afternoon. We had Sweden could have knocked Australia out, and we were fortunate enough to scrape into that last spot. But eight countries play. We get divided up into two groups, and you're seeded, obviously. So there's two groups, and then you play every country in that group the first 3 days.
Okay.
And the top five teams go through to Sunday, and then they play a singles format on Sunday. The first 3 days is best ball format.
And you'll have an ultimate team winner.
Yes, you will.
How does it differ from the three games in the Ryder Cup that rotate? In other words, what games will you play over those three days?
Yeah, we're playing the best ball format for the first 3 days, and then singles format on the Sunday.
I like it. It's clean.
Yeah.
Gets to the point. Identifies the best players and the best team.
Yeah, I think, and it's a fun format. We don't play enough team competition, I don't think, and I certainly haven't had the opportunity that some of the other girls have when they've played the Solheim Cup, so... it's a great opportunity to represent Australia and get four of the Aussie girls together and having a fun week.
You know, golfers don't get enough credit for trying to make that transition because you even see it sometimes in match play, because it's such an individual sport, and then suddenly there's a team mentality. Even though you got to put up your number, you got to hit your shots, it's a different feel, I'm sure.
It is. I think, when you're playing just individually, it's just really for yourself. And obviously your caddy is in on it as well. But, when you have a team, there's three other people on the team that care about how you play and you care about how they play. And then you're representing your country as well. I think we represent our country every week when we're out there, but not as, as specifically as this. You know, we'll be wearing green and gold, Australian colours, and all matching, and it'll have a great team feel to it for sure.
Dave, say hi to Kari.
Kari, good morning.
Good morning,
Steve asked you about your bunker mentors, but of women who came before you on the tour, who did you really admire and look up to?
Well, when I was growing up in Australia, for the most part of my childhood, we had two television stations. And so I didn't get to watch a lot of women's golf.
That's amazing, because she's 29. Yeah.
And actually, one of the golf magazines in Australia posted a letter that I wrote to them when I was about 12.
Oh, really?
Asking them to include more women's golf in the magazine. So
cool.
But I looked up to, when I first came out, obviously, when I first came out on tour, I, which I think was the greatest era before me of LPGA players, with the Nancy Lopez, Elizabeth Daniels, Patty Sheehan, Pat Bradley, Amy Alcott, Betsy King. You know, that I think was the greatest era of the LPGA. And for me, I remember my first LPGA tournament that I played in. It was the Monday of the event, first event of the year, and it was really, really cold and windy, so there was no one out there. And I'm like, and there was a strong left to right wind on the range, which if you know golf, if you're a right hander, that's a bad wind to practice in. So I was like, I'll just go down to the very far end of the range and just try and hit back into the wind as much as I can. And I get there, there's one person on the range, and it's Nancy Lopez, and she's down the far right corner of the range. And I'm like, there is no way I'm going down to hit balls next to her. So I went and hit at the far left end of the range and tried to hit downwind. Right. So,
how many times did you look up and peek at her to see what she was doing? Every swing.
I was facing her down the other end of the range, and I was like, I wonder how long she's going to be there, because I really want to hit down there, but I am not going down there. But, for me, it was pretty surreal that I was actually playing in the field with those players. And for me now to call them all friends is really cool.
It's got to be cool. We're talking about the UL International Crown, a very cool team event, the only professional event in golf coming into Chicago this summer at the beautiful Merritt Club, July 21st through the 24th. How do you feel about the state of the game? I mean, as I said, at the ripe old age of 29, you now are a mentor to younger players in the game.
Yeah, I've actually really enjoyed that part of it. I have a scholarship series back in Australia, and the top two female players get to they're the winners of the scholarship. They obviously get some money that helps them towards travel and stuff to get to some amateur events, but the thing that I've enjoyed most is that they also get to come and stay with me during the US Open.
Cool.
And I've been doing that for 8 years now, and I think I've gotten more out of it than they have.
You're like the Airbnb of the Ladies Open now?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. I hope you're hitting them for a heavy rate.
But, I love, I don't think you ever realize that you have something to give back until you're asked to do it.
And yeah, it's an honor.
I've really enjoyed it, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
With the popularity of more women becoming involved in golf, there was a great article in the New York Times yesterday, actually 2 days ago, I think it was. It was Jordan Spieth talking about Lexi Thompson, saying that they played in a pair event in 08, and she carried the team. And it was also talking about the disparity of the male golfers making so much more money than the female golfers. And Spieth was one of the first to say, hey, you know what? It should be much more equal, don't you? I mean, would you not advocate for that as well?
Oh, definitely. I think you would advocate for it. But I think, when it's not like we have the same sponsors as the men. I mean, it's really hard to compare. I was talking to some of the younger players the other day, and they were saying, what our lowest purse is on tour, should be raised. And I said, well, that actually used to be our biggest purse on tour when I came on tour. And I said, the first tournament that I won, the total purse was $450,000, and now our minimum is $1.3 million. So we are growing as a tour. We are playing for more money every year, and it is good to aspire to play for more money and to play to equal what the guys get paid. We'll be aiming for that always.
You can go to ulcrown.com. You can get tickets right now. Tournament week actually runs July 19th through the 24th this summer at the Merritt Club, and see the best golfers in the world, the best female golfers in the world, period. I mean, they're all going to be here. And it's going to be an exciting week. Now, you're well familiar with the first tee. There's a first tee fashion event coming up. And I was not asked to participate, Andrea. You were?
Yes, Mary Sandberg and I are going to be participating in the event. You look very pretty in your golf clothes.
I do.
You look great.
I do.
You look really good.
Yes, in my jumper.
And Dave?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't want to leave either of you out.
But we're going to come out and cheer you guys on. And Lisa Quinn is here, executive director of the First Tee. Good morning, Lisa. How are you?
Morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Well, nice for you to be here. And I thought it was a nice back-to-back with Kari, too, as we talk about the UL Championship, because First Tee is a great way to do what Kari was talking about as well, and to get youngsters and girls in particular involved in the game.
Absolutely. First of all, I'd like to say sorry I don't have that great accent that Kari has and cool words that they
That accent works anywhere on the planet. Yeah. The Aussie accent will get you into a lot of places.
Definitely.
Yes.
But yeah, very excited to be a part of growing the game of golf and giving young people the opportunity to learn and develop as young, more character development through the game of golf. And it's an exciting time for us for the first tee, and we have a lot of important work to do to bring the game to where the kids are and really give them those opportunities to learn.
You have this fashion show coming up. You have a fabulous MC in Andrea Darlis. And where and when?
So it's Thursday night at Old Crow Smokehouse in River North. And it's going to be a great event. We've got about 20 fashion lines, the latest and greatest in golf fashion, a Masters viewing party, and it really kicks off the golf season.
And it's exciting. What are you doing for preparation? Stretching at all?
Dave is going to give me a few fashion tips and a little makeup advice, and I think we'll just go from there.
It's a good start.
Raise a lot of money.
Yeah, and the First Tee information in general, how do we support First Tee?
You can go to the firsttee of greaterchicago.org and check out our website. Program spring programming is actually kicked off yesterday in this wonderful weather that we had out at Cog Hill. We have 17 program locations throughout the greater Chicagoland area. And in the city of Chicago, I mean, we're really working great with the Park District. It's the best park district in the country, in my opinion. And we're working to really bring the game throughout the Park District system. And partnering with Chicago Park District has been a wonderful way for young people in Chicago to get access to the game.
You were nice enough to give me this new putter grip, the Super Stroke putter grip with the First Tee logo.
Yeah, well, you know, I was
going to buy one from the gift shop as well?
Absolutely. I was going to bring you some gear, but we only have a European fit gear. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't sure that
that
was
generally
your
style. My look.
Yeah, I mean,
I like a nice tight golf trouser, kind of slim fit, sort of uncomfortable.
You know, the Europeans
bending over to tee it up, right. Kind of concerned about a break, well, you know, that type of thing.
Thank goodness for spandex for men, but the Europeans really know how to dress, and our honorary chairman, Luke Donald, our LX guy, is just amazing, has been truly responsible for the First Tee of Greater Chicago's growth and our ability to raise money through his event, and I'll put a shameless plug into that, the Luke Donald Taste the First Tee.
Of course, yeah.
So that's will be in September here in Chicago. Always has an outstanding guest. Last year we had Ricky Fowler and Keegan Bradley. We hope to bring some LPGA players perhaps next year when they're here for the PGA Ladies Championship, I think at Olympia Fields.
Nice. That's a great course, too.
Well, it's fabulous. It's great stuff. Again, First Tee website is?
The First Tee greaterchicago.org.
And the UL Championship coming to the Merit Club, ulcrown.com. That trophy wouldn't be for me, I guess, huh? Car?
No, I don't think so.
No, that's actually going to go to the winning
well,
team.
Unless your golf attire is, you know, European-style female.
Right. Right.
Okay. I am wearing Spanx, but those are really they're more Manx than Spanx. It's a cool trophy for a great event, and I'm excited you guys are back. But it's really nice to meet you because, as I said, I've been a fan for years. I just love your game, and I love your attitude, and you're always great with the media, which is nice.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Nice to see you. Safe travels everywhere, and congratulations to all you guys. ULCrown.com coming to the Merit Club, or as we like to call it, Deacon's Backyard.
Yeah. You must be my FNGs.
Morning, sir.
Oh, get your hands down. Do not salute me. There's snipers all around this area who'd love to grease an officer. I'm Lieutenant Dan Taylor. Welcome to Fort Platoon. What's wrong with your lip?
I was born with big guns, sir.
Well, you better tuck that in. I'm gonna get that caught on a tripwire.
Yeah, this is one of those movies. I don't care how often you're flipping through cable. If it's on, you're gonna watch it. Pick out the beginning, the middle, the end, anywhere. Forrest Gump. Our friend Gary Sinise is in Criminal Minds, Beyond Borders. Let's talk about tonight's episode as he joins us now. And at least by telephone, welcome home. How you doing, man?
Hi there. How are you?
Good. How you been?
Pretty good. Good morning. Good Cub win last night. I love it.
How about that? How about that little slap around to open the season, huh?
It was a hello.
I'm telling you what.
We're here.
Yeah, and you got the Blackhawks scoring six goals Sunday until they took a little brief nap, but they're gearing up for the playoffs. The White Sox won on the south side. A lot happening, dude.
It's a lot happening.
All right, so Criminal Minds Beyond Borders. Explain for people who don't know the show yet. It's a spinoff of Criminal Minds, right?
Yeah, Criminal Minds, the show with our good buddy Joe Mantegna, they have the behavioral analysis unit. It's a domestic unit responding to domestic cases around the country, and we're part of the international response team responding when Americans are in jeopardy overseas. So if something happens to an American, there's a disappearance, there's a hostage situation, a murder, whatever, the international response team is deployed to that country, and we investigate. And that's what we do on Criminal Minds Beyond Borders. So every episode is takes place in a different country.
And tonight's episode is? I believe.
Is this taped?
No, we're live.
Okay, well, we're on tomorrow night, Wednesday night.
Oh, wait, it's Tuesday. I thought we were already on Wednesday. Good God, man, I've been here two shows.
We're on tomorrow night.
Yeah, no, it's tomorrow night. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, sir, 9 o'clock, we're in Japan. So we're actually, Criminal Minds is not on tomorrow night. Criminal Minds Beyond Borders has a double episode. We're at 9 o'clock.
Good.
An episode that takes place in Japan, and then 10 o'clock, an episode that takes place in France.
And, of course, on CBS2 here in Chicago and around the country, check your local listings. You see what Gary did there? You see how suave he was? He picked it up. He said, dude, if it's taped, I got your back, man. I got your back. I got you covered. We're good. We're good either way.
I thought it was live.
No, we're live. We're as live as it gets. Criminal Minds Beyond Borders. And here's the thing that surprised me when I saw you doing a show. TV, and you tell me if I'm wrong about this, TV's harder to do than film. It's a time commitment and all of that. Or have you got it down to a science? Because I was surprised you jumped into another series.
Well, it was 2.5 years between CSI New
York. Is that right?
And Criminal Minds Beyond Borders, yeah. Yeah, I was working pretty much exclusively on my foundation work, the Gary Sinise Foundation, after CSI went off the air. And then a couple things came along that I decided not to do, and then I was approached by Erica Messer, who's running this show, Criminal Minds Beyond Borders, and Mark Gordon, who's executive producer of this show, and they approached me and asked me to come in for a meeting. I sat down with them. They're lovely people. They've obviously had great success with Criminal Minds and
sure.
Joe Mantegna's shows for the last 11 years or so. So I thought, you know, this sounds pretty interesting, going to a different country every week and the challenges that are going to be presented to the writers dealing with the different cultures and the different law enforcement agencies and all these different countries that we go to. So I thought it'd be a pretty interesting way to return to television. And it's a wonderful cast. We're off to a good start. We've had episodes in Afghanistan, India, and Egypt so far.
How about that?
And then tomorrow night we have this double episode in Japan and France. So it's pretty, I think, fun for the audience to go and go to these different places with us and see how we kind of navigate the world.
Yeah. By the way, it's GarySiniseFoundation.org. He didn't say it. I did because, I think it's something I'll check out regularly. And I know how busy the Lieutenant Dan Band is. You got a summer full of gigs planned?
We have a lot coming up, yeah. My foundation has a great program I started called Soaring Valor, and we actually take World War II veterans down to the National World War II Museum in New Orleans. And, the average age of each one of these veterans is 90 years old. Next week we have a trip where we're taking 45 World War II veterans down to the museum. This is sponsored by my foundation,
wow.
The National World War II Museum, and American Airlines provides an airplane so we can take all the veterans down there. And that's part of what my foundation does, just to support, these great heroes who have given so much. And then the week after that, we'll be at Fort Sill playing a concert out there in Oklahoma. We've got concerts all over the country and lots of events.
Yeah, and if you're listening around the country, you never know when Gary and the band are going to pop up on, your big event in your town. If you go to GarySiniseFoundation.org and you click on the events tab, the schedule is there and it's updated whenever it needs to be. So you can get the whole list there. You coming home this summer at all?
Yes, sir, and we'll be at we're actually playing at the Steppenwolf Gala on the 14th of May. So tickets are on sale for the big spring gala that we do every year. My band plays every year, and it's a big fundraiser for Steppenwolf. Of course, I've been involved with that for over 40 years now, and every year now the past 10 years at least, my band comes and we're part of the gala, and we're going to be there again May 14th.
When Steppenwolf started, Andre, I don't know if you know this, it was just Gary Sinise and two puppets. And now...
and now it's huge.
Now look at what it turned into. It's unbelievable. Well, you and I have talked about this off the air, but you know how much I respect your commitment to our serving men and women all over the world. And we all need to do a little bit more. But, I feel good about what we're doing as a country in regards to respect for those who serve and the families that sacrifice here. I think that's a good era we're living in. But we can never forget about those families who are here, whether their husbands or wives or boyfriends or girlfriends or mom or dad or whoever are serving abroad as well. So if you got a family down the street that you know is a military family, don't be afraid to, hit them up with a text message or knock on the door and say, hey, I'm running out to get some dinner. Can I bring you back something? It's always a nice gesture.
That's exactly right. If every community just, sought out the veterans in that community and patted them on the back a little bit, helped those military families out, we'd have a lot less problems with regards to taking care of our veterans. And that's what my foundation does. We just try to raise awareness and raise spirits and raise funds to help these families out. There's a lot of struggling within the military community, and we don't want that to happen to people that are defending our country.
Keep up the good work, my friend. And whenever you're in town, you're always welcome here to the beautiful Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue.
Thanks so much.
Criminal Minds Beyond Borders. It's a double episode tomorrow night. Starts at, so that'd be 8 o'clock, Gary, our time, for the double episode.
I think Criminal Minds is on at 8 o'clock there, right?
Yeah.
So we're eight and 9 o'clock in Chicago tomorrow night.
I'm just going to clear everything I say now with Gary, because I'm starting to question myself.
just call me. I'll help you out.
I thought you would. All right. Appreciate it, man. Good luck. Thanks.
Thanks so much.
It's GarySiniseFoundation.org. He's a good guy.
He's an awesome actor, and you're right, he does so much for the troops.
You ever see the Lieutenant Dan band?
Yes, and they're awesome.
They are. They're really good.
Good.
Tight band, man. They're very good.
The Blackhawks!
Blackhawks Radio.
720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Hawk. Chicago.
Opedia. We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
Sponsored by Fresh Wave, the official deodorizer of your Chicago Blackhawks. And boy, do they stink. It's odor-wise after they play.
Right.
They smell funky.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't mean they stink. Obviously,
no,
they're great.
Of course not.
Dave, what do you have for us?
Well, how about Marian Hossa?
Oh, this is the one that you didn't get any of.
Started to the other day, and I was abruptly interrupted.
Seems appropriate.
But Marian Hossa, although he won't play tonight, is on the brink of a major milestone. He scored the only goal for the Blackhawks a week ago tonight in their loss to Minnesota. It was the 499th of his career. So, while he won't play against Arizona, his next goal will put him in a select group, 500 goals. He might have a game or two this season to reach 500 and become the 44th player in NHL history to reach that number in the second this year. Washington's Alex Ovechkin scored his 500th earlier.
Dirty coming.
That guy.
Yeah.
When he does get it, assuming he does it this season, Hossa will become the fourth active player with 500 or more goals. Jaromir Jagr of Florida, 44 years old, has 748.
Wow, that's a lot.
38-year-old Jerome Iginla of Colorado has 609.
Mm-hmm.
Ovechkin at age 30 has 520. Hossa has had 8 30-goal seasons. He has 13 this year, his fewest since his first full season in the NHL. But as Coach Q told us the other day, Hossa is, at age 37, still playing at a very high level, and not only does he have 499 goals, his last one was the 33rd shorthanded goal of his career, topping all active NHL players.
If I could just throw in a couple of statistics, his 499 goals are 499 more than I have.
That's true.
And his 33 shorties?
Also.
No, I've had 33 shorties, but that's a totally different conversation.
Yeah, I don't think we want to discuss that.
All right, Dave. That's
our Hawkopedia.
Yes, it is. And that's Marian Hossa's story.